In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, only one God, amen.
First of all, we wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. We have a lot to be thankful for and to thank God for at all times. We are in the fourth Sunday of the first or the new month of the Coptic calendar. And just like at the end of the Coptic year, the church reminds us that our lives here will all come to an end, and to stay vigilant so that we can always be prepared to meet the Lord when he comes. Likewise, also at the beginning of the Coptic year, the first Coptic month is dedicated to an important topic of returning back and starting a new life with Christ through repentance. So during the first month, we focus on repentance, coming back to the Lord, renewing the covenant with the Lord, who alone can heal and forgive, who alone can give eternal life. In last night's reading, we read about two miracles that were intertwined in one. We read about a desperate plea of a man for the Lord to come and save the life of his 12-year-old daughter. His name was Jairus. He's the ruler of a synagogue, and his daughter was dying at 12 years old. And while the Lord was en route to go and save the child, we heard about a strange occurrence where a woman who had been suffering and bleeding for 12 years came from behind the Lord and, as it were, stole forgiveness by touching the hem of the Lord's garment. And as soon as she touched in faith, she was healed. And the Lord stopped. There was a great procession coming. Everyone's crowding around him. And the Lord stopped and asked what seems to be a strange question. He asked, "Who touched me?" And we know there are a few times mentioned in the Bible where the Lord asked these questions. Like, for example, when he asked the man who was paralyzed for 38 years, "Do you want to be made well?" And when he asked St. Peter, "Do you love me?" All these questions that may seem strange at first, of course, have a deep meaning. And we'll come back to this question of who touched me in a minute. But we want to read quickly together the same miracle of last night. Last night in Vespers, it was taken from St. Matthew's Gospel. And to get a broad perspective, maybe we'll read it from St. Luke's quickly. And behold, there was a certain man, there was a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. So that's the first part of the story, the ruler Jairus coming to ask the Lord to save his daughter's life. Now we're coming to the second part. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him, in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And that's the second part. And now the third part. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father of the mother, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Glory be to God forever. Amen. So back to the first part, if you recall, Jairus came asking and pleading with the Lord for him to come and save his daughter. And we could observe some good things about the way Jairus came and approached the Lord. He begged him earnestly. He worshiped at his feet. And when I need, as we all need of the Lord at all times, we need to come and worship him and fall at his feet with our requests and petitions. And Jairus says to the Lord, "Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." So he clearly has faith that the Lord is the only one who is able to save his dying daughter. So he has faith in the Lord. However, does he have as much faith as is needed? We recall another biblical character who actually just a chapter ago in St. Matthew's Gospel had also asked the Lord to come and in this case heal his servant's son. If you remember the centurion that came to the Lord and the Lord said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word and I shall, and my servant will be healed." So here we have another level of faith, even more than that of Jairus. St. Augustine also analyzes the situation and says that when the ruler comes to ask the Lord to cure his daughter, there's perhaps a little bit of insensitivity in the way that he asked the Lord, because he demanded two things of the Lord. He demanded the physical presence of the Lord and the Lord come and lay his hands. And if I have a sickness or my child has a sickness and I bring them to a medical doctor or a specialist or a physician, is it appropriate for me to direct the physician how to perform the healing? Is it appropriate for me to tell the Lord how he should perform the miracle? So if I have a problem, it is good that he knew he had a severe problem and he knew that there was only one person who can provide the solution. But perhaps it's better to leave the problem with the physician and not to impose the way it should be solved or when it should be solved or how it should be solved. However, as you know, the Lord is compassionate and does not deny any of our requests. Even if my prayer is not perfect, he will work on the imperfections, and perhaps he allowed the Father to wait a little bit so that he can deepen his faith. Now we continue to the second part of the story, this amazing woman who had been suffering for 12 years. And this poor woman, as we heard, had wasted all her livelihood on trying to get better through various means, and all those attempts were futile. In fact, instead of getting better, she wasted her money and she was suffering even more than before. And she finally had an opportunity to meet the one who she knew could heal her, who could give her permanent suffering, relief from her suffering permanently. So we may wonder, why did she not approach him openly? St. John Chrysostom reminds us that in the Jewish rites and in the Mosaic law, anyone who's bleeding is considered unclean and is forbidden from approaching the holies, forbidden from approaching the holy places or the holy men. So she hid herself and stayed on the ground, and from behind the Lord, she believed deeply that just touching his garments would heal her. And what did the Lord do? The Lord could have let her go unnoticed, but the Lord did not leave her unnoticed and he actually brought her into the center of attention and made her visible. And again, St. Chrysostom tells us that there's a number of reasons why the Lord did what he did. It is not because the Lord wanted the glory of the people to clap for him that he did an amazing miracle. First of all, St. Chrysostom tells us that the Lord did this to end the fear that was in the woman. He does not want her, St. John writes, he does not want her to be trapped in dread, and he does not want her conscience to bother her as if she had illegally come and stolen the gift of healing. So the Lord wants to put an end to her fear and to our fear. Second reason that the Lord brought her into the open was she had a right to be seen. She felt in herself unworthy, but the Lord elevates her and says, you, as he calls her daughter, have a right to be seen and to touch the Lord. Third, he sees in her great faith and wants to make her faith an example to all of us so that he encourages each of us to emulate her faith. And the fourth reason is the Lord wants her and all of us to know that he knows everything. He knows your needs, your requests, your prayers before you verbalize them, perhaps before you even consciously think about what you need. He knows all my needs. And finally, St. Chrysostom writes that the Lord also wanted to show her faith to also admonish the ruler of the synagogue for his lack of faith. Like we said, it's not that he was lacking faith, but his faith could have been deeper, like the faith of this woman. Who touched me? And God willing, later on in the service, most of us will be partaking of the body and blood of Christ in communion, and the Lord can say to each of us, who touched me? Not only touched me, who tasted me? Who is partaking of me? Because many of us will flock, but blessed are those who, like this blessed woman, know how to touch the Lord in faith in order, like her, to be cleansed and healed and forgiven and given eternal life. Because I trust and you trust that only he can provide all that. So I don't need to waste my time on earthly wisdom or earthly methods of meditations, perhaps like the woman did for 12 years seeking healing in a futile endeavor. Spending all that she had could not be healed. Instead, I seek the heavenly wisdom. I meditate on him who freely gives me his blood so that my bleeding can stop and my life can be eternal. St. Augustine also writes that there are few who by faith touch him. There are multitudes who throng about him, but there are few who truly touch him in faith. Who touched me that I may cleanse them? Who touched me that I may heal, forgive, and give eternal life? And now we come to the third part of the story, the raising of the daughter of Jairus. And you hear how at the beginning, some came from his household saying, don't trouble the master, your daughter is dead. And this is what we can truly call bad advice from those closest to him, from his family, friends, and acquaintances. This is bad advice. And the Lord knows that the faith of Jairus will be shaken, so he encourages him, saying, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. St. Augustine writes the following. He, the Lord, comes to the house and finds the customary funeral rites already underway. And he says to them, why do you make a tumult and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. St. Augustine says that the Lord speaks the truth. She was in a certain sleep, asleep in respect of him who could wake her. So awakening her, he restores her alive and presents her to her parents. St. Augustine also has an important contemplation. He says that the daughter of the synagogue ruler signifies the Jewish people. Whereas the woman who was bleeding for 12 years symbolizes the Gentiles. And the Lord Christ came for both to provide healing and eternal life to both those who believe of him from the Jews and from the Gentiles. The bleeding woman represents the Gentiles because she was considered unclean and she was considered unworthy of touching the Holy One. But the Lord corrects this incorrect assumption and says, no, she is worthy to see and touch me, just like the Jewish nation is worthy of me. And I've come to heal and give life to both. The bleeding woman touched the hem of the garment of Christ, and the forefathers tell us that this is symbolic of St. Paul the Apostle and his epistles and teachings. As you know, St. Paul has 14 books in the New Testament, 13 of which are directed to the Gentiles, and one is the book of Hebrews. So St. Paul is like the garment of Christ, and this woman who represents the Gentiles just barely touched the garment, the hem of the garment of Christ, in order to receive healing. One of the church fathers, whose name is Saint Chromatius, writes that after this girl was raised from the dead, as we read in Saint Luke's Gospel, the Lord directs her to eat something. And he says, evidently the order of our faith and salvation is shown here. For when each of us as believers is freed in baptism, and of course in not only baptism but in continual repentance and confession, when we are freed from perpetual death, just like the girl was freed from death, and comes back to life, upon acceptance of the gift of the Holy Spirit, it is necessary that the person also be directed to eat the heavenly bread about which the Lord says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So what we learned last night, we'll review quickly, and then we have a summary of the four women of faith that we heard about. Like Jairus, if I have a problem, it is fitting to fall down at the Lord's feet and offer the problem. But ideally, I don't tell the physician how to do his job. He knows how, when, and where is appropriate to solve my problem. We also learn from who touched me that, like St. Augustine says, there are a few who by faith touch him. There are multitudes who throng about him. So we want to be part of the few who in faith touch him so he can cleanse, heal, forgive, and give eternal life. And like he said to the woman, go in peace. So he crowned it with peace, saying, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And we learn also that when we're in a desperate situation, perhaps struggling with a bad habit or a weakness or a sin, or praying for someone who is in rough shape, the Lord always gives hope. Do not be afraid, he says. Only believe, and she or you or all of us will be made well. Today, like we said, is the fourth Sunday of the first month in the new Coptic year, and we're blessed to also have stories of four women of faith that are mentioned, like we just heard from last night's Vespers Gospel. We heard about the woman who was bleeding for 12 years. Those who came early would have heard the Matins Gospel about the Canaanite woman whose daughter was healed by the Lord. And as we heard in the Liturgy Gospel, she's labeled as the sinner woman, probably more appropriately labeled as the repentant woman who was forgiven and healed spiritually by the Lord. And if you were paying attention during the Acts of the Apostles, we read an amazing story about St. Peter being called to raise from the dead a faithful lady named Tabitha. So the bleeding woman we've talked about already, so we'll not talk too much more, only just to say that she touched in faith, like we said. So faith in the Lord leads me to touch him. And as she said, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. The second woman from this morning's gospel was the Canaanite woman. We'll just see clearly. She comes pleading with the Lord, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But the Lord ignores her. He answers her not a word. And the disciples say, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." And the Lord says, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And she keeps pleading, "Lord, help me." And the Lord pushes further, testing her faith, saying, "It is not good to throw the children's bread to the little dogs." But the woman answers humbly, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And the Lord says, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter is healed. So faith in the Lord, we heard before, leads me to come and to touch the Lord. Faith in the Lord leads me to come and to humbly pray to the Lord. Even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. So we can learn to have faith, to touch the Lord, and to humbly pray to the Lord. You heard the gospel of the liturgy about the sinner or the repentant woman. And this gospel, as you probably know, is read during one of the midnight services in the Ishbeya. And here we learn from her that loving the Lord leads me to return to the Lord. Loving someone doesn't mean if I love someone, I don't want to be apart from them. I want to come back to them. So loving the Lord leads me to repent. And the Lord says, "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much." And then finally, the fourth woman we want to talk about is Tabitha, who is not a well-known personality in the Bible. We only hear her in this passage, that she is full of good works and charitable deeds. And when she passed away, the widows sent for St. Peter to come, and St. Peter came and prayed, and her life was given back to her. From her, we learn that loving not only leads me to return to the Lord, but leads me to give. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds. So if I love the Lord, I want to return to Him, and I need to give generously. And the most important thing I can give is forgiving others who may have hurt me. So just in summary, faith in the Lord, we can remember the letters FTH, faith in the Lord. I can touch the Lord, taste and take of the Lord. I am humble before the Lord in my prayers. And love, we can remember LRG, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Repent, returning to the Lord. Give to the Lord and forgive others. Faith in the Lord, like a mustard seed shown at the top, faith in the Lord allows me to touch Him and allows me to be humble in my prayers. And by the way, if I don't have enough humility, the more I pray, the more I'm humble. If I'm full of pride, it's difficult for me to pray because I think I don't need the Lord. And I may make an excuse and say, no, I don't pray or I don't come to church out of I don't have time or lazy. But in reality, if I don't come to the Lord, there's probably a little bit of a seed of pride thinking that I don't need the Lord. Faith in the Lord allows me to touch the Lord and humbly pray. Loving the Lord lets me return, come back to the Lord, give generously, and forgive those who may have hurt me. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
Maria's mother. We believe in one God, God the Father, the Pontificator, Creator of heaven and earth and all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of light, true God, begotten, not created, of one essence with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary, and became man. And he was crucified for us in the Pontius Pilate, suffered, was buried, and the third day rose from the dead, according to the Scriptures, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of his Father. He is coming again in his glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. Yes, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, with the Father, Son, and worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and in one holy Catholic and apostolic church, we confess our baptism for the remission of sins. We